Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by BetterHelp. I love these guys, and I really hope that you can take advantage of what they can offer you as well, especially in these trying times. We got a special offer for you guys, listeners of Real Ghost Stories Online. 10% off your first month. Visit BetterHelp.com/ghoststories.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a listener recalls the visits from a girl in a black dress during his childhood. A beloved holiday decoration may hold more memories for one man than the rest of the family. A woman decides to ask her resident ghost to bother her husband so that he finally believes her stories. And while backpacking in a foreign country, two men find there is something in their hostel room that won't leave until it's discovered. Those stories, your calls and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hello.
Hello, and how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing well. I was just reading before the show. They're starting to release some images and such of the new Conjuring movie.
Oh, about the Enfield poltergeist?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that one's under production right now. And they actually have an exorcist on set.
Oh, really?
In this one, because, and so far so good. They haven't apparently had to use it, him or her. I'm not quite sure, you know. But the reason being, they were saying that they were having quite a few issues on the first Conjuring set, which I was unaware of that.
Okay.
You know, like, remember, like, what was the one that they said had all the curses? Was it Poltergeist back in the day? Well, I guess some weird shit went on the Conjuring set.
But they didn't film that at the house where the actual story took place.
No. Okay. It was filmed in a completely different, fake location, if you will. But Vera Farmiga?
Farmiga.
I can never say her last name correctly. She said that she had woken up every day at 3:07 the whole time they were filming it, which is actually something that happened in the character or to the character in the movie. Had some unexplained scratches and other weird things. A cup flew off a shelf. Not as bad as anyone dying on set that has, you know, been the legends, if you will. And facts, not necessarily attributed to paranormal, of some of these other movies that end up having a lot of lore around them. But other people on that cast and crew also reported similar things.
Really?
Throughout the making of that one.
That would be an interesting book or movie in itself.
Exactly. I'm sure it'll be, I wish they still did them, a good true Hollywood story.
Yeah.
Remember those?
Mm-hmm.
I loved those shows. I don't think they make those. I didn't watch E! At all anymore, so I don't know.
No.
Maybe it's still around. I don't know, but those are always fun to watch. I'd like to just watch when they do like the marathons of them.
Maybe they'll get her on Celebrity Ghost Story.
That could be interesting.
Mm-hmm. I like that show.
So when weird shit like that happens to you, what do? You make a sequel. So interesting to hear that. Hopefully everyone survives and the sequel comes to light at some point in time.
And it's pretty much the same two playing Ed and Lorraine, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yep, it's the same two. I wonder if somebody got something out of their little cabin of horrors or something that...
I don't know.
You know, all the weird shit that you shouldn't touch. It I don't know, makes you wonder.
Yeah.
Makes you wonder. Anyway, looking forward to that movie. I don't know exactly when it's coming up, but that should be fun. I enjoyed The Conjuring. That was one that I think to me, for a recent day horror movie, probably one of the best.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything else horror movie wise that I thought was done as well as that one. Just because it was done like the older ones, if you will. Had that creepy old feeling to it. So anyway. That's that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. We should get an exorcist in here every time we do the show. We've never had anything happen.
So far, we've been lucky. Knock on wood.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Knocking on wood. Wait,
yeah.
That wasn't me knocking. Was it you knocking? There you go. Grayson writes in, when I was a child, my family moved to a rural town with the railroad running right down the middle of our town. Our house was about a block from the railroad, and we lived in this house for many years. My father still lives there today. The house was very old and built with a basement that mirrored the layout of the main floor, as well as a large attic. Over the years, I encountered what I always thought was a ghost of some kind. I was six when I first saw her. I was down in the basement playing with some toys when a girl, maybe 15 years old, I think, in a black dress with long black hair, stepped out from underneath the stairs. She smiled at me and waved, then stepped back where she came from. She was only there for a moment or two, but I distinctly remember not being afraid. I mentioned it over dinner to my father, so after dinner, he took me downstairs and showed me that the only thing in the little room beneath the stairs was a hot water tank. The next time I saw her, I was around 10. We had just gotten home from the grocery shopping when I saw her peeking at me from the basement stairwell. She was leaning around the corner to watch me, but she disappeared as soon as my mother came to get me. I saw her briefly about a year later while I was downstairs doing homework on the computer. I caught sight of her in the reflection on the glass of the monitor. It surprised me, so I turned around to look, but she was gone. I was 15 when I encountered something again. My father was in the main bathroom at the time, so I had to shower in the basement bathroom. While I was in there, I heard the door open. A silhouette appeared on the shower curtain. I knew my father was the only one at home at the time, so it really shook me up to think that someone was in there with me. I don't know what else to do, so I just asked if I could get some privacy, and the silhouette vanished. I got out of the shower, got dressed as quick as I could, and ran out of the basement. I don't know if it was the girl or something else. I still hope it was. The last time I ever saw her was the day I went off to college. I was going through the house to make sure I had everything I was taking with me. I just finished going through the basement when I saw the same black-haired girl sitting on the foot of the steps. She didn't look at me or even move. She just sat there for a moment or two until she just disappeared. I visit my father on the holidays, but I've never seen the girl again. I don't really know what to make of it all. Maybe you'll know more than I do. Really appreciate having someone to tell this to. Thanks for your time.
I wonder if it's because he outgrew seeing things that maybe he doesn't see her, or maybe she doesn't have interest now that he's a grown-up. She was only curious as he was a child.
Mm-hmm. And now it's just gone?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where you have to wonder, because sometimes you have that where someone is sensitive to a certain point, and then that ability seems to go away. And a lot of times people just assume that is going to be of a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like by the age of 3 or 4, you outgrow it. But sometimes that lasts well into, you know, young adulthood almost.
Sure.
And then it fades away. A lot of possibilities there.
Yeah.
As for what may be going on with that house. And that little girl. Thank you for sharing your story with us. Of course, our phone number here, 855-853-4802, if you'd like to share your real ghost story with us. I wanted to mention that getting ready for Seeing Ghosts, Episode 3. It's coming out very soon.
Okay.
And our EPPs get that. And I went through the plethora of pictures that have been sent in to us over the last month or so. And I apologize if you send in a picture and I don't reply right away. It doesn't mean that I'm not reading it or haven't read it. I just tend to like put this show together in the course of a day.
Mm-hmm.
So I sit down, I just purposely don't open those emails.
So that they look new.
Yeah, so they're okay. Left unread and that they stand out to me. And then I go back and I go through them all. And I determine, okay, what's going to make it to the show or not. And got about 7 pictures so far. There'll probably be more by the time we actually do the show. But some really creepy photos. I mean, I thought we had some good full-bodied apparitions in the last episode. This episode has even more. And they're good. I mean, they are really, really good. I have one from a restaurant where it's clearly, you know, they're just having a nice dinner. It's a nice restaurant, taking a quick little picture.
Mm-hmm.
And there's... It's a good example of a shadow person, I think.
Okay.
Because it's a dark shadow that is darker than the rest of the room.
Mm-hmm.
And it's standing in front of a window.
Oh.
And it's the clear outline of an individual.
Yeah.
And it is, it's a good example of this, where people describe this thing as darker than dark, because it's a pretty dark restaurant-y room, but there's these windows way at the end that have some light coming through, and then there's this thing there. That one I'm really impressed with. There's another of an apparition that's beginning to make itself seen. A roadside ghost girl.
Okay.
You know, we hear a lot about those things. And a really, another real creepy one that when you zoom in on it, it's not just a big pixelated mess. It's actually a really good image. It's, I believe it was a father or someone who went into, they had like a private access to a movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, their two kids were watching the movie. And the parents thought, hey, you know what, I'm going to snap a photo of my kids watching this movie from down here. And he did. And the image is just the two kids, but then off on the side, up on the ledge where you walk up the stairwell there that's lit up.
Uh-huh.
It's like another little kid.
Oh, really?
Standing. And it's very, very clear. Very clear and very creepy. And there's some other photos as well. Someone in a restroom. Of a fairly well-known haunted bar, I believe in Milwaukee. I have to read the detail. Yeah, in Milwaukee. And it's a fairly well-known haunt. Does that have the name of the bar here? I don't see the name off the top of my head. But anyway, woman's in there because she believes, you know, she's heard the ghost stories.
Mm-hmm.
And she's snapping some photos in the bathroom. And she has two photos that we'll present. And they're back to back. It's one, she's just snapping the photo into the mirror of the bathroom, and you see her taking the photo. Next photo, right after that, there's a woman standing by the window looking out of it.
Oh, gosh.
And it's not, you can tell it's odd. It doesn't fit in. It her color blends into the room. It's very weird.
Yeah.
But it's clear as day. Some very good ones.
Okay.
I'm very excited for this episode. So if you want to see that when it comes out, you can become an EPP on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP, and you'll get access to Seeing Ghosts, Episode 3. And, of course, Episode 1 and 2 are already out there, so sign up now, and you'll get access to those right away. And like I said, I thought we had some good ones in Episode 2. It's getting better.
Yeah.
Better and better. And I didn't know it could get better, honestly. So I'm excited about that. Back to the conversation in just a moment. But first, let's just take a moment to talk about our own mental health and well-being. Very important, especially now. It is so easy to go off the rails with all of the stressors that we are all facing. We are in the midst of the holidays. We are in the midst of a global pandemic. We're in the midst of not being able to see many of our loved ones. And it takes a toll. That on top of everything else that you may have personally going on. Add that to the mix. Yeah. Life can be difficult on its own, but obviously right now it is testing all of us. And sometimes you just need to talk to somebody. If there's something that's interfering with your happiness, that's literally some of the copy that they give me. And I know it was probably written in non-COVID times, but if there's something interfering with your happiness, which I think all of us can probably put a check mark or two behind something in the box there, or is preventing you from achieving your goals. And realistically, we all got something there. BetterHelp will help you assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. Yeah. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online. Broad range of expertise available, which may not be available locally in many areas. And that's so true. So many areas are like a desert for this. We're just, do you want help with that? Good luck finding somebody around here that can help you with that. They will find somebody, okay? And you can, they make it so easy to switch if you're not comfortable or happy with who you've been matched with. You can move around until you find the one you're happy with. No questions asked, no extra fees, nothing like that. It's available to everybody worldwide. Log into your account anytime, send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can even schedule weekly video or phone sessions. You don't have to go to that waiting room and Lysol it down or anything like that. It's all online and it's wonderful. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. Like I said, more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. So do I. You really, truly deserve doing this for yourself. There's pages and pages and pages and thousands and thousands and thousands of reviews. Here's an example of one. It says, Sharon has been thoughtful, strong, kind, and a beacon. She gives me the tools to navigate what I'm feeling and experiencing, challenges me when I need it, gives me the grace in moments where it's most important. She's a great therapist, and I'm grateful for her. Sharon said that. You can read it for yourself, betterhelp.com/reviews, if you want to see all those reviews about BetterHelp. It's a great service. It's amazing that this exists now. We are so lucky. We are in a time where we have something like this for such a time like this. Visit betterhelp.com/ghoststories. That's better, H-E-L-P. And join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. Special offer for you guys of Real Ghost Stories Online. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/ghoststories. Going on to our next story on today's episode, Nikki writes in, Hi, Tony and Jenny. I've just started listening to your podcast here in Sydney, Australia, and I really love the show. My family have always been very open-minded about the paranormal, particularly my sister and I, and we've all had strange things happen to us. I'd like to start just by sharing one story. When I was about 10 or 11, I, being the oldest sibling, moved out of the bedroom I shared with my sister into my own room. It was right across the hall from my sister's room, and we often keep our doors open at night. I remember once, shortly after I moved rooms, randomly waking up in the middle of the night, wide awake and feeling a little on edge. As my eyes adjusted to the darkness of the room, and I could see the outlines of everything, I noticed little dark shadows flying across the room. There were a few of them just racing back and forth, up and down through the air. They were too small to be a person, more like doll size. Then I thought I saw a white figure peer around through my door from the hallway. I could see its head and upper body, and it just looked in my direction. If that wasn't scary enough, the next thing that happened absolutely terrified me. I felt something pushing up my mattress, like someone was under my bed with a broom handle, pushing it up into my back through the mattress. My mattress literally moved. It happened very slowly, then receded very slowly. Then everything was gone. The dark shadows, the white figure, and the pressure from under the mattress. I was wide awake for most of the night after that, unable to sleep. I mentioned it to my mom the next day, but she said maybe it was the cat sleeping under my bed. There's no way the cat could have applied that much pressure to my mattress. Anyway, if you or any of your listeners have experienced anything like this, I'd love to hear your thoughts about it. I wouldn't consider myself sensitive to the paranormal, but I definitely have had dreams about people and events that have often come true. We'll share those another time. Keep up the great work with the podcasts, Nikki.
Well, I've heard other stories like this, and in fact, later in the show, there's another story that's pretty similar to this one.
I know what it is. It's something that's going to steal your soul, Nikki, and probably eventually they're going to find you in several pieces in your room. So
that's terrible.
I'm kidding.
Why would you say that?
I'm kidding. We haven't had anything with a ghost go that far.
No.
I just wanted to say something horrible and scary from the worst horror movie you could possibly come up with. Stealing my soul.
Okay.
No, it's something creepy, though. I mean, there's certainly something. When you have something like that, where someone who says that they're not very sensitive to it, it makes me believe that whatever it is pretty strong.
Yeah.
If it's able to let itself be known to the non-sensitive. Because I think the super sensitive or just sensitive in general are probably the easier targets for an entity to make itself known.
Sure.
And to make itself known to someone who is not by physical force. You know, that's spooky.
Well, it's like it tried three different things to get attention.
Yeah.
And it's like you could, any one of them by itself, write it off.
Mm-hmm.
Except for maybe the under the bed pushing thing, but.
Not the cat.
No.
Be one hell of a cat.
No kidding.
I'd be very impressed by it. Cats can do some crazy shit. But lifting up the bed?
No.
Probably not one of them. I had a cat who could get through very tiny holes.
Most cats can.
It's amazing what they can do.
If they can get their head through, I think they can get the rest of their body through.
I don't know how she did it. I used to play in like cardboard boxes because those are, of course, the best thing in the world when you're a kid, like big refrigerator ones. Uh-huh. And at the end of them, there'd be like a little, you know, where the four folds would come together. There'd be like a little hole in the middle. And it was pretty tiny, like enough you can stick your eye through it, you know, and kind of peer out. But I would play out there with my cat because I had no brothers or sisters or neighborhood children. My cat was my only companion.
Uh-huh.
This is why I do what I do today. And the cat would be in the box and didn't want to be in the box, but I was, you know, 7 and I didn't care. And I thought, oh, we're going to play spaceship, kitty. And so I'm like shaking the box around and, you know, pretending we're going to another planet. And the cat doesn't like this, and it gets out, but it goes through the little hole. It, like, sticks its head first, like a paw out, then another paw, then pulls its head through, and somehow it managed to make its way through the thing. Okay. It can do that, but probably not levitate beds.
No, not probably use its paws or something to push the bed up.
Do the mashed potatoes thing on the bed enough for it to...
upside down.
Good story, Nikki. Keep us updated on what goes on in your life in the world of hauntings. It's creepy. Was that a long time ago for her?
I don't know if it was.
Was that recent?
No, I think so. I think it was a while ago.
Okay. Kurt writes in, back when I was a kid, I loved Christmas. Every year our family would decorate the house the day after Thanksgiving. I was the one to always head up the decorating and make sure the old decorations got their usual spot and the new ones found somewhere to be. I don't remember all of the things we put out because there was a lot, but there's one in particular that still haunts me to this day. We had a snowman figurine, I guess you would call it. It was life size, about 5 feet tall, had a classic top hat, green gloves, candy cane, scarf, etc. But there were some odd features to it. Its eyes were two little black holes cut in the actual head that seemed to pierce you from anywhere in the room. And its mouth was the sharp smile that looked almost demonic, looking back at it now. Years ago, when I was still a kid, I'd remember walking past it and it would move, sing Christmas carols, and talk to me. Its head would turn, arms would move, and mouth would move up and down too. It would say things like, having a happy holiday, or I can't wait to see Santa soon. I just thought it was programmed to do this, and thought nothing of it. I told you this because of a recent event that happened and scared me. I was talking to my mom yesterday about Christmas, and I mentioned the snowman. When I related the same things I told you, she got a strange look on her face and said, Kurt, what are you talking about? That snowman wasn't programmed to move or talk. It was just supposed to be decorative. I argued with my mother and finally Googled the old decoration, and she was right. The snowman figurine wasn't ever supposed to move, sing, or talk. I know the one we had did.
I like that. That's funny.
Makes you wonder how many other holiday decorations have plagued children over the years.
Well, you know, it's part of that magic of Christmas.
Exactly. But I mean, it makes you wonder about things like that, where if something is trying to take on a form of something else and communicate, and a lot of times it'll target the most innocent, if this is something that, you know, we brush over quite often. Where these dots are never connected. Had he never had that conversation with his mom, he would have thought it was just a talking figurine.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it was awesome. This thing talked and did this and that. And okay. There's plenty of shit that does that. It seems very logical.
Mm-hmm.
But not so much.
No.
But there was like, what was it? I want to say it was like a toy that was recalled or something, or it was either recalled or there was like an urban legend or a rumor about it. I want to say it was the pull string Pee Wee Herman doll from the 80s. Uh-huh. And I could be completely wrong on this, but either there was an urban legend going around that it was saying like really horrible shit and it got recalled, or the story was that... It was saying things, or people had somehow documented it saying things that it shouldn't be saying.
Mm-hmm.
Like it wasn't even like the factory didn't even know what the hell was going on. I could be completely off, but I somewhat in the back corner of my mind, in a foggy, cobwebbed area, have that recollection.
I think that's right. I think you've mentioned that a long time ago.
As I picture it on the shelf of a Kmart.
Uh-huh. All it takes is one factory employee with a bad sense of humor.
And the ability to do that. Yeah. I imagine it might have been a little more accessible back then. I don't know. But I don't know. Someone can fill me in on that. Elaine writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. I just recently discovered your podcast and have enjoyed them so much. I became an EPP. Thanks for giving us listeners an outlet to share our experiences. My husband and I live in rural central Oregon. And from the first day we moved into our new house, we began experiencing strange things. Some of these things were very subtle, such as things moving from one location or hearing my name called. However, I still wasn't sure if they were truly paranormal, so I asked whoever was there if they could do something, which would let me know without a doubt that it was paranormal in nature. Word of warning, be careful what you ask for. I was laying on my platform bed reading a book around 10:30 at night. My cat was sound asleep at the foot of the bed. Suddenly the mattress started to shake violently. Ah! I wondered if this could be an earthquake, but I noticed something else was shaking. Or nothing else was shaking. If this wasn't bad enough, the worst yet was to come. Kicking came from beneath the bed. It was so strong I could feel the vibrations with each kick on my body. I began to feel like I was riding a bronking bull. It must have lasted 30 seconds. Whatever it was scared the hell out of me. At this point, both my cat and I jumped off the bed. The minute we jumped off, everything stopped. Then my cat started acting very strange. On platform beds, there's a small door which leads underneath it. My cat was fixated on that door. He'd look at the door and then back to me over and over as if he wanted me to open it. No way was I going to open that door. After taking a few minutes to calm down, I discovered the shaking had actually caused the left side of the board at the foot of the bed to rip out of the platform and land on the floor. The nails were still in the board, but bent. I screamed for my husband and told him what happened. Even though I had physical proof this time, he still didn't believe it was caused by anything paranormal. The next day, I did some investigating on my own and found even though Oregon does have earthquakes, we weren't close to any fault lines. I couldn't find any normal explanation for it. Since I'm the only person who experiences these things, I asked whoever was responsible if the same thing could be done to my husband's bed to prove it was paranormal. Of course, I didn't tell my husband. A few days later, my husband told me he had some strange things happening during the night. His bed started shaking violently. He had theories on how it occurred, but in the end, he couldn't explain it. As scary as my experience was, I did feel vindicated that it happened to him too. And yes, strange things continue to happen all the time.
I think that's hilarious that she wanted it to happen to her husband.
I do too. I don't know how good of an idea it is to encourage what you don't know what it is to do more things around your house.
But you don't know what level of frustration she had reached.
To request demons shake his bed?
Well, I'm not saying it's okay, but she had probably just literally gotten to the end of her rope and wanted him to stop.
Sure.
Not believing her or stop making fun of her or whatever.
I think I may know what it is that's going on here.
It's going to be some bullshit thing that you just spout off.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
It is not. There was a child in the 80s. His name was Fred. And he had these little monsters that lived underneath his bed. Now I'm going with this?
Yeah.
Remember that movie?
Yeah.
Horrible movie.
Yeah.
Horrible movie.
His name wasn't Fred in the movie.
What was his name in the movie?
I don't remember, but it wasn't Fred.
I just Wikipedia. Brian Stevenson was his name. Fred Savage.
All I remember is they peed in the apple juice jar.
They did?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's disturbing. I just remember it being kind of creepy because the little monsters came out from under the bed, right?
Right.
If I remember correctly. So you have little monsters. These things were blue. They had really sharp teeth. Were they friendly monsters in the movie? Were they?
Well, the one was kind of a bad influence friend, but okay. I think there were some that weren't good.
Who played the little monster?
I want to say Howie Mandel.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was in the depths of my trivia knowledge.
Congratulations. Who played his brother? Not Howie's
Ben
brother.
Ben Savage.
You watch this movie on a regular basis,
I watched
don't you?
It, and you know what? You know who played the dad?
Who?
Daniel Stern.
Do you like watch this regularly?
No, it's useless movie trivia. That's the kind of shit that retains in my brain.
I don't know how you do that.
I don't know.
I couldn't tell you who was in a movie we watched yesterday.
It's helpful when you listen to stories over and over to remember which ones you have and haven't heard before.
Sure.
So it's a useful skill for what we do.
Or when I bring up completely random shit.
Yeah.
And then you can tell me who starred in the movies.
Yeah.
And it was produced by so-and-so, and camera number 4 was done by...
I don't get that
now,
detailed.
That would be like A Beautiful Mind shit.
Yeah.
Right there.
I don't do that.
If you were able to go that far with it. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Lang writes in, hey guys, this is Lang from Minnesota. Personally, I've never experienced anything too paranormal except for sleep paralysis, which I might write about later. But for today, I'm writing about a story told from an acquaintance about him and his best friend traveling in Korea. I'll tell it from his point of view. We've been backpacking across Korea for the past month now, and it's been a blast. We studied Korean in college and decided to spend a summer there. To save money, Ted and I have been staying at a really cheap hostels. We had just made it to the next town at noon and went to check into the hostel. Ted gave me his backpack and said he needed to go to the restroom while I put our stuff into the room. It was a fairly small room with 2 bunk beds, but we've had worse. Once we slept on the floor, but it was just good to be indoors. Afterwards, we headed out to sightsee. We had lunch at a cheap noodle place. At the table, we sat across from each other. He was facing the window. While eating, I noticed that he would not stop looking at the window. He tried to grab a bite and then look towards the window a little, but only for a brief second. I looked, and all I saw was just a street, people walking around and cars driving by. We had met some local girls who invited us to have some drinks with them at a bar later that night. Now, this is what two bachelors traveling together is all about, booze and meeting new people, right? At the bar, Ted seemed preoccupied with something on his mind. He said jokingly, "Oh man, too much beer, I'm going to go release it, be right back." Although I can see that he only faked it because he didn't want to ruin the vibe. It had been almost 40 minutes and Ted hadn't come back yet. I went to check the restroom, but nobody was there. Maybe he lied and wasn't feeling it, so he just went home. I hated to do it, but I said goodbye to the beautiful ladies and headed back to the hostel. When I got in, all the lights were off. I turned on my phone light and walked into our room, expected Ted to be there, but he wasn't. The light switch didn't work either. The power must have been off. The liquor was catching up to me, so I wandered around the dark hallway, finding the bathroom. I remember Ted went upstairs when he was going to the restroom. There was a stench in there that was really strong. Maybe someone took a dump and forgot to flush. I started getting goosebumps and thinking about ghosts after all the lights were still off. But I was tipsy and had to answer the call of nature. While stumbling back down the stairs to my room, I saw a figure standing at the end of the hallway and shone my light on it. It was Ted. "Hey man, where the hell have you been, dude? I had to ditch the girls to come find you. Let's go back if it's not too..." Ted put his hand over my mouth. He pulled me into our room and whispered, "We have to hide now." So we lifted up the bunk bed and went under it. Then I heard it. Thunk, thunk, thunk. It sounded like someone was walking down the stairs slowly. It got closer and closer until it was outside our door. The door opened slowly. The same stench from the restroom flooded in. I was scared and confused, mostly because of the look on Ted's face. Never seen him so serious and scared before. Somehow I managed to knock out, and the next thing you know, it was morning. I woke up and Ted wasn't there. I can hear chatter coming from outside the hall, and it was paramedics, and they were carrying a dead body outside. I found Ted, who was smoking, and he still looked shaken up. "So what the hell was last night all about?" I asked him. He shook his head and explained everything. "Yesterday, when we got in, I had to pee, so I asked where the restroom was, and they told me it was upstairs. There was this guy who was standing at the top of the stairs pointing to the restroom. So I went up there, I turned around to say thanks, but the dude was gone. I smelled the funky smell in the bathroom and said, 'Screw it, I'm not going in there.' At the restaurant, the same guy was standing outside the window, peering in at us the whole time. I didn't see him for a while, but when I had to pee at the bar, I saw him entering the restroom. So I left to go find a restroom elsewhere, but everywhere I felt he was there. I got kind of lost in the streets and just decided to pee in the alley and found my way back to the bar, and the girls told me you went home. When I got in the hostel, that's where we met, but I saw the same guy at the top of the stairs. Then he walked into the room when we hid. I know you didn't see it, but he sat on the bed the whole night until the sun came up. I could see the rotten flesh from his ankle. Man, you know, I could always see things. It's never been this bad, though. Ted was shaken up. We went back inside and talked to a couple other people staying at the hostel about what happened. One guy said he found a dead body in one of the stalls. I realized what had happened to Ted and scolded him. Maybe he was just trying to tell you to find his body, man, and you failed him. You've got the gift of the shaman, and you keep trying to suppress these gifts when you could be helping people and spirits find their way. I can see that Ted ignored me. He's always ignored it. We'd go back to Minnesota soon, and me and him never spoke of this to any of his family members. Side note, we're of Hmong ethnicity, a hill tribe people from Southeast Asia who originally followed shamanism and immigrated to America in the 70s after the war. Few people are born with the sixth sense, and those with the community are usually made to become shamans to commune with the spirits of our ancestors, asking for fortune and such to ward off evil spirits. It's pretty tough on the newer generations of Hmong Americans who are gifted. To the people in our homeland, it's a gift, but to some of us youngsters, it seems more like a burden. Thanks for reading my story. I have one other story about my uncle and an evil spirit paralyzing him in his sleep. This one involves a shaman also. But next time, peace. That's a good one.
That is a good one. I think the dead guy just wanted to be found, and then he'd be done. You know, done scaring people and not trying to scare people, but just by the way he looked, I think he scared people.
Yeah, when you come across as kind of a zombie-ish figure, no matter how nice you are about it, it's still kind of creepy.
It is.
There's no way around that, really. Even if you're carrying a Hello Kitty lunchbox and waving and singing a show tune.
Okay.
I don't know how that would be comforting. I'm just trying to think of things that on their own are not threatening, but when you combine them all with one person, it becomes rather disturbing.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Okay.
I should just walk out into the street and start doing that. Just walk through Walmart or the mall and do those things.
You got to get out more, but don't do that shit.
I would probably be arrested very quickly. Yeah. What the hell is wrong with that guy? I don't know. He's taking all these random things that are not threatening, but when combined are. Ashley writes in, "Hey guys, love your show. Big fan. I've written before, but haven't heard my personal story yet on the air. Either way, I wanted to share with you a story of my friend. He gave me permission to share this story and show you a photo. I'll send it to you guys shortly. Anyway, his family moved into an older house when he was younger, like 5 years old. His family took a picture of him in front of his Christmas tree in the background. On the TV, which was off at the time, was a clear picture of a ghostly face of a woman that looked like she was screaming. I want to see this photo."
Yeah.
"I have not seen it come through yet."
I haven't either.
So please do send this. Send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. His family and him moved out shortly after. The story goes that the woman who used to live in that house hung herself. When the family moved out and into a different home, and a bunch of odd things started happening. For example, he was downstairs late at night watching TV. His dog was in his kennel locked up tight, and he heard the cage open, and his dog ran up the stairs and started staring at nothing. He called his dog back down, and before his dog had a chance, the other dog's squeaky toy went off. His dog started running around in a circle, and his dog came back downstairs, and again, the squeaky toy went off. My friend freaked out and ran upstairs, and there was a toy sitting in the middle of the hall, the whole house, still asleep except for him. He always felt like someone was staring at him. Odd things like doors shutting with no wind, lights turning on and off. He since then hasn't experienced anything since his parents moved a third time. He obviously moved out and is on his own now. He hasn't had any other experiences since he was a teen. What do you think? The lady who hung herself, was she following him? Was it another ghost? Anyway, love your show. Hope to become an EPP real soon. I'll write in again soon with my other friend's story about her haunted house that used to be a barn. That's a good one to share.
I don't know. Maybe he just outgrew his ability to see things, and it might have been two separate ghosts. Unless she just found him really interesting enough to move, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's an odd one. I'm going to go with two separate ghosts.
Yeah.
Because it's to the point where, you know, getting, you know, not up there in age, but, you know, beyond teen years. Mm-hmm. And if he's still, you know, experiencing things outside, you know, of his first home, I'm going to guess maybe he's a bit sensitive. Maybe it was two different ghosts. And maybe he's been fortunate enough not to have to run into the ghosts.
Yeah.
Since then.
I think that would be the worst, to be somebody, be a ghost that you ended your life, but you're still stuck here.
And if you were trying to escape something and you did not escape, you're back there again.
Right.
Yeah, that would not be a pleasant experience.
No.
Thank you for writing that in. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Kane writes in, the first time I ever experienced anything scary in my life that has to do with the paranormal activity was when I was in elementary school in third grade. Worst years of my life, but the apartment house I lived in was strange. Doors would open on their own, and I know what you're guessing, must be the wind. But there was a time when I was lying on the ground doing my homework next to the bed. Heard a strange noise like a scratch. I thought it was nothing. Then I heard it again, so I got up off the floor and noticed that it was coming from the bed. I looked closer. It looked like something was scratching the bed sheets. You could clearly see where it was. Think of a fingernail scratching the bed. I got up and ran away. I was so scared, but that once, that was the only thing that was scary. This haunts me to this day. It was nighttime and everyone was sleeping. I woke up early. Well, I didn't get off the bed. I was still in, but there was a small hole on the bed sheets and lets you peek through it. I looked through the hole and noticed a black figure. I thought it was my dad, but I didn't say anything. But that's when I noticed that my dad was off that day, so he would have been asleep already. I got so scared and I didn't look away. Something was telling me that's not my father. It was a strange feeling that whoever that was, it knew I wasn't sleeping. My room didn't have a door at the time. I saw it pass by the door, took a step back. I stopped. I blinked. He was in the middle of the room. I took a deep breath, closed my eyes, then I opened them again. He was right there, so close, you could hear me breathing. It was dark, tall, and scary. I had a feeling that if I yelled or cried, something bad was going to happen to me. All I could do was stare through the bedsheet hole that let me see perfectly what he had on his face. If I could tell you what his face looked like, my answer would be he didn't have one, and there was only darkness.
I think it was a shadow person, and they were interested because they knew you could see him.
That's the creepy thing of the ghosts and paranormal. You have it in the back of your mind, you're wondering, do they realize if I'm here? Can they basically kind of sense your thoughts?
I think some can.
Yeah. Some can, some can't.
Yeah, I think some can and some can't, and I don't know the rhyme or reason why. And the reason I think that is because they're able to sometimes, you know, give thoughts to you, you know, communicate things through your thoughts.
Or also react to you without you saying anything.
Right. Yeah, what's in your mind isn't necessarily just yours when you're dealing with a ghost.
That's a creepy thought.
It is a creepy thought.
What's in your mind isn't necessarily just yours when you're dealing with a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. That's a good quote.
Okay.
I don't know where on earth I'd ever use it. I don't know, but that's a good one.
Okay.
That's like a headline for something.
Okay.
I like that. That's really creepy. Anyhow, it's like a movie trailer. What's in your mind isn't just yours when you're dealing with a ghost. Ah!
See, it was creepy till you screamed.
That's how it goes. Well, the scream wasn't good. I can do a better scream.
No, don't try.
Do you want to try a scream?
I don't want to try a scream.
Bear, you want to scream? It's Bear's birthday today, by the way.
It is.
Our pet dog. He is turning one. And in pet year, is it seven for one in pet
dog year? Yeah, he's seven in his mind, but he's only one in ours.
Okay. He's going to be a teenager next year.
Mm-hmm.
Going to have that talk with him.
He's fixed.
It's going to be it'll be a tough one.
He's fixed.
He should at least be aware.
Yeah.
At least be aware. There could be peer pressure at some point.
Right.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Brandy writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. I'm a new listener, but I'm already an EPP and loving it. There have been some animal stories, but not enough. So I wanted to share something that happened to me yesterday. Little backstory. Over the summer, I was given an amazing opportunity by a very kind gentleman. I was given a horse. Now, this horse was not in tip-top condition. She had some medical problems that we weren't sure if she would pull through from. Somehow, he's almost positive he knows how, but he can't prove it, a bunch of his horses were let loose from his farm. All but one were recovered safely, except for a lovely 2-year-old mare. She was found 10 miles from the farm with both of her front fetlocks swollen to the size of softballs. I fell in love with her right away. She was the horse I had come to call my own and named her Hope because I had all the hope in the world for her. The gentleman is in failing health and is in the process of liquidating his farm. He was one of Hope was one of his girls, but he didn't have any time or energy to nurse her back to health. We brought Hope back to my friend's farm and tried to get her healed. A few months later, a few weeks ago, my friend told me that Hope wasn't improving much and she didn't believe she would make it through the winter, so I should probably come by and spend some time with her and say goodbye. I was busy with work, so I hadn't had the time to stop over. Thursday, I decided that I was going to head over to my friend's farm to spend time with Hope on Friday. Friday morning, about 3 a.m., I started to dream about Hope. In my dream, I was spending time hand-grazing her, feeding her lots of treats, and pretty much just loving on her. In my dream, I knew that her time was near, and it made me sad. Once I woke up, I chalked the dream up to me just being scared and sad that she wouldn't be around much longer. I headed over to my friend's place at about 10 a.m., and when I was on my way, I got a text asking if I wanted to run a few errands with her. My friend was waiting in her van when I arrived, so I hopped in. We chatted for a few minutes, and then she turned to look at me and said, "Before we leave, you should know..." Before she could finish what she was saying, tears welled up in my eyes, and all I could say was, "I know." Once I managed to calm down a bit, I told her about my dream. My friend kind of looked at me, and once she found her voice, she told me that Hope had passed away at about 3 a.m. that morning. A calm instantly came over me. I knew she came to say goodbye to me, knowing that I wasn't able to come to her. I hope you enjoyed my story, and I have more that I'll save for later.
That's a sweet one. I like that.
It makes sense. I mean, you have stories of people
mm-hmm.
that are doing that same thing, and it makes sense, I think, with any living creature that could be a possibility of happening.
Where you have a connection like that. Where they probably love you as much as you love them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it's a very good story.
Yeah, I think so.
I won't break into wildfire.
No.
Who sings that song? Should be riding wild.
I don't know.
I don't remember.
I don't either.
Damn it. You know all the actors in Little Monsters, but you can't tell me who sang Wildfire?
I can look it up real quick.
I can't tell you either.
Okay.
I think he died recently, honestly. And that's like in the last 5 years or so. Music trivia, call number 5 right now. Who sings Wildfire? Here on Ghost FM. Call it number 5.
Michael Martin Murphy.
Michael Martin Murphy is the right answer. Congratulations. What station has made you a winner?
I'm trying to find out if he's dead or not.
I believe he is. And now that's the bonus. You get the extra chicken wing in the leg and thigh dinner that you just won. Well, if you can tell me if he's dead or not. It comes with a free side of coleslaw and roasted potatoes.
He's not dead.
He isn't?
Nope.
Wow.
He's 70 years old.
I thought he had passed away. I do apologize, Michael Martin Murphy.
Just offended him.
I'm sorry, Michael. I do hope we can move on from this and still maintain a good, positive relationship.
You've ruined it.
But you enjoy your leg and thigh dinner from Ghost FM.
Thanks.
It legitimately used to be a prize I would give away on the radio.
A chicken thigh dinner?
It was a two-leg and thigh dinner from Ma and Pa's Grocery Express on South Main in Fond du Lac.
Now, is that the...
If you're caller five right now.
Is that the lotto place?
It was. Yeah, it was the place where they... It was like the first $100 million Powerball winner was.
Okay.
In like 1994-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And he was actually a teacher at my junior high.
Did he quit?
Yeah. Well, actually, he was forced to quit.
Why?
The school saw him too much as a liability. Because they're afraid students were going to say something and sue them. And they didn't want that liability on their hands. He was a nice guy.
Aww.
And he didn't do anything bad. I mean, he was a good guy. It was just, I believe that the school system saw him as a liability. If I remember correctly.
Okay.
That's I believe, is what the issue was. I could be completely wrong, but I believe that that is what the issue was.
Huh. Okay.
So, there you go. Science teacher, I believe.
Okay.
Because I think my homeroom was actually his room. And I had a different teacher in there. So he hid money in the walls like Walter White. No, I'm kidding. Jasmine writes in. I have written a couple of times before. That was an interesting correlation there.
That was good.
Came up with that out of right at the cuff. Jasmine writes in. I've written a couple of times before about some.
And part of that actually wasn't bullshit.
About him putting money in the walls?
About your science teacher.
No, that was real.
Okay.
That actually was completely real. It was my homeroom room. Anyhow, homeroom room. Jasmine writes in, I have written in a couple times before about some odd occurrences of people staring at me, but this story is about something a little more comforting. When I was about 7 or 8, my grandmother worked in a factory where she became best friends with a woman named Joyce and Joyce's husband. The three of them had worked side by side for years in this factory until Joyce's husband was diagnosed with cancer, which he later died from. Not too long after his death, Joyce was diagnosed with cancer as well. I remember my grandmother telling me she'd passed away, but it wasn't significant in my young life, as I'd only met Joyce one or two times before. Not too long after the funeral, I had an extremely vivid dream. I was standing in a room so bright, it was hard to tell where the ceiling, floors, and walls met. I was alone for a moment, then in walked Joyce. She looked great. She smiled at me, said a few things that I don't remember exactly about how she was fine and loved my grandma. And then, to tell her, she said goodbye. This dream felt very real, and I never forgot about it. My grandma and I were two peas in a pod. She, too, was eventually diagnosed with cancer a few years after Joyce's death, which led my family to believe that it was something in the factory that was causing the cancer in the employees there. Fortunately, she caught it early enough and entered remission. When I was 18, the summer after I graduated from high school, my grandma went to the hospital with stomach pains, where she died a month later from surgery complications. The night she died, I had a dream. I was in the bright room again, and there was my grandma. I was able to say goodbye to her, but she kept telling me that she had to tell my mom something important. I told her, "Grandma, you died today. You can't tell Mom anything. It would freak her out." But she kept insisting until she finally faded away. The next day, we were going through her things in her apartment when my mom pulled out a suitcase from under my grandmother's bed. Inside was a series of papers that answered a lot of open-ended questions my mom had for her mother. I firmly believe Grandma led my mom to that suitcase and that it really was her in my dream. It was comforting to know that there really is an afterlife and that my grandmother would still be able to contact me. For a couple years after that, my grandma and I met in my dreams and discussed many things, like what it was like to die and if she was able to spend time with her mother in heaven. I'll save those for another time. I love the show. You and Jenny, always, as always, keep up the great work.
I want to hear the other parts of the story.
Yeah.
You know, I like the ones where it's a dream that has some kind of link to reality.
Mm-hmm.
And... You know, I always wonder, can they come back anytime they want, or do they have a limited number of times that they can come back in our dreams, or if that's just something they can do,
yeah.
You know, anytime.
What are the rules?
Yeah.
Of doing that,
yeah.
As a ghost? How do you, it's one of those questions we're never going to have the answer to.
No.
But hey, we'll keep speculating. It's what we do. 855-853-4802 is our number. Next letter from H. Hey guys, love your show. Makes the workday bearable. I live in northern Alberta, Canada. I have always been interested in the paranormal because I have known many people with stories that send chills down my spine. I myself have had a few experiences that I cannot explain, and I'll tell you about the ones that have happened recently in my house. I was sleeping in my room one night when I awoke sometime after midnight to a loud sound. There was a loud splash that came from my bathroom, and I immediately thought it might have been one of my children falling into the tub. So I sat up quickly, looked over, and realized both my kids were sleeping in my bed. For a few seconds, I heard loud splashing noises coming from the bathroom. I got up and I went to investigate. I turned the light on and checked, and there was no water in the tub, and there was no water on the floor. I was very confused that night and had a hard time falling back asleep. Another story I have for you happened to me and my son. We were getting ready in the morning. Me and my daughter were in the kitchen, and I realized my son wasn't up yet. I was calling him and looking for him, and when I got to my bedroom, I heard crying and was worried he had hurt himself. I went into my room calling his name, and he said, with confusion in his voice, "Daddy, I hear crying." I came into my room, and he was in the bathroom with his ear to the floor. I was immediately worried and went outside to check under the trailer for a child possibly hiding underneath. I found nothing. These are just a couple stories I have. I've had other experiences happen, and perhaps I'll share them another time. Thank you for everything you do, and keep up the great work.
I think the two stories are related. I think that there's some kind of ghost child,
mm-hmm.
or maybe even like a residual type sound energy that keeps going on of this child.
Because it does sound like things children do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It'd be very, very confusing and creeped out if I walked in and I heard like splashing and then, nope, nothing.
Yeah.
So a lot of times I think I hear the shower going, but uh-huh. that's just like either like the water heater or the air conditioner or the furnace or something.
Sure.
Because it's just, it's that low hum.
The mechanical sound.
Yeah. And you know, if you don't know what, if it's, you know, the other side of the house or something, you're like, oh, someone's in the shower. You know, nope, no shower going.
Yeah.
But that you can write off.
Right.
Splashing, very distinctive sound.
Right.
Thank you for sharing that story with us. Andrea writes in, when my oldest was one, we lived in an historic house that had been converted into four apartments. The house was built in the late 1800s, I believe. The living room was a lovely fireplace mantle with a mirror and big, beautiful wood carvings on each side. On the upper left corner of the mirror, a flash of light would catch my eye. This always happened out of the blue and quite frequently. One evening, I was in the kitchen doing dishes, and my son was on the floor near me playing with some toys. He starts to cry, and I look down to find him moving across the tile floor with one leg up in the air, like he was being pulled by someone. He's screaming, and I picked him up and called my husband to tell him what happened. Of course, he didn't believe me. A few weeks later, my family had all gone at bed and stayed up talking on the phone with a friend. When I finally went to lay down, I was staring at the door of my closet. All of a sudden, the door got super fuzzy, like a TV when the reception goes out. Then I see this image of a little boy sort of pop out of the closet door. It looked like he was jump roping. I could faintly hear playful laughter. I pulled the covers over my head and went to sleep. The next day, my husband asked who was over that night, and I told him it was just me on the phone, and he said, no, every time I heard you talk, I could hear the voice of a little boy talking at the same time. I talked to my neighbor who lived across the hall about it, and he said that he would see the little boy in his apartment, too.
The way it sounds like the fuzziness where it looks like a TV reception mm-hmm. issue, but it's like in a door or something, it almost makes you wonder if it's a peek into it, like a time that's passed.
Like a time warp or a portal of some sort?
Right. I mean, we've had ghosts show up and people talk about them either looking like they're all fuzzy, like TV mm-hmm. reception or things like that. So that's kind of a common thing that we've heard. But
mm-hmm.
That's what I think. I think it's some kind of time lapse thing.
I would agree on something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just excited for when the ghosts go all HD.
Okay.
I know they're still broadcasting themselves in analog, mm-hmm. and it's just kind of, it's not as good. Soon, all of them going to be in HD. So look forward to that, kids.
There you go.
high definition ghosts. It's going to be required by the FCC by 2017.
Okay.
Get your converter kit today. There you go. That wraps up Real Ghost Stories Online for today. If you like a little program, want to help keep us on the air, become an EPP, get bonus episodes every single week, access to our massive archive of previous bonus episodes, as well as video content, seeing ghosts, and more. You sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, click become an EPP. We greatly appreciate it. That's what keeps this thing going. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.